Long time ago, my sister was troubled because she could not go to her church due to the family vacation. Somehow, there is this somewhat absolute rule among Korean Presbyterian churches in Korea that you have to come to the church on Sundays. If you do anything else, you won't be blessed by God. Quite strong. Interesting thing is, Jesus was opposing that to begin with. Yet, Christian churches somehow claim to be Christians, following the teachings of Jesus, created a church system that re-emphasizing certain ritual to be more important. In a way, living as a human is sometimes, I feel like, it's always finding a truth and then later finding a deeper truth of that truth. And yet, later finding actually all those truths are not true, but there's something else. Then you get to wonder, so what's the truth? And if you really deeply look into your heart, to be real honest, truth to me is something that I can actually agree. If this is something that I cannot agree, how can it be true to me? And if it's not true to me, how can I perceive that as truth? Now there's an argument then, how about objective truth? Right? So that goes on and on. The reason I bring it up is for many centuries, even millennia, I believe our ancestors believed that world was flat. And stories were told that if you go at the edge of the ocean, you will fall into this huge waterfall that you'll end up world that you never know. They're assured that you'll never return. And for a while, we believe that Earth is the center and the sun and the moon and all the stars are kind of, you know, rounding around the Earth as the center. And if you go under the Earth, there is hell. If you go above the Earth, there is heaven. To us, these, I believe even Roy will say that's nonsense in this day. But if you travel 150 years from now, it'll be quite a strange world that they actually believe that. But if you go 300 years, how about 500 years, 1500 years, today's story about Noah is supposedly written, if it's written by Moses, 3,1200 years ago. If he indeed copied it from Babylonian source, you need to add about one more 1,000 years to that. And if Babylonians copied it from Sumerian mythology, you have to add one more 1,000 year to that. So this is one of the oldest stories that humans ever wrote. Story about flood and a good man and his family and restarting of the humanity. And we just read verses 1 to 8 and it's quite troubling, isn't it? Right? It's quite troubling. And I'm pretty sure there have been at least a dozen or even tens and hundreds of different ways of understanding this scripture. So I'm assuring that I'm not trying to tell you the truth today about the scripture. But the angle that I'd like to focus today is not about this big ark or the flood. It's about person and God. The person named Noah. And his name means rest. That interesting name? Rest. How come a person who was chosen to go through this building the ark and inviting animals and taking care of them for 40 days, actually 150 days on the water? His name means rest. Noah's life was nothing but restful, if you read the scripture. If you want to understand a book, a letter, a story that is written by somebody, you can take one, your own perspective, meaning that you can read it, understand whichever way that makes sense to you. Or you can read it based on your understanding on the character of the person who wrote it. So I'm not saying these are only two options, but these are two big options you can choose easily. And many times the way we choose is that whatever that makes sense to me. I was confessing that a truth to be truth to me, it has to be acceptable to me. Otherwise, I will deny it. That's sometimes our stand. Now, are we willing to get out of that box, self-centered box, and give a little effort to understand actual characteristics of the person or being who gave the message and possible intentions behind it? If you read it in that way, there are a few words in this chapter 6 that you can translate slightly different way, could give you quite a different meaning. One of them is the Lord grieved. Another translation said repented. Sounds like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Why did I create humans, all these evil creatures? But that Hebrew word also contains words, expression that says to be sorry for, to console. And that, like, little twist, but God was, in a way, being sorry for humans. There's a difference, isn't it? God grieved in heart making humans versus God was sorry for the humans. Just like we're saying, I'm sorry for your loss. By the way, that was one of the social, cultural shock that I was, it took me quite a while to get it. Why do you say sorry to you know, somebody else's loss? In Korean way, we don't say, I'm sorry for your loss. And there's a totally different way of expressing it. But that heart that God was grieving was not about regretting or not liking what happened. It's more likely God felt sadness about the conditions that human has reached. And my understanding of the flood is consequence of that was something bad was about to happen. You know, if you like alcohols, if you drink it every day, you'll end up being alcoholic, right? Can we change you at the end saying, oh, you drank alcohols every day for 5 years, but you don't need to be alcoholic? Can we do that? No. If we develop certain addictions at the end, something is awaiting for us. It's almost unavoidable. So there is this deep sorrow, sadness, about what was about to happen to humanity. And that's kind of the way I'm understanding this. And this person, Noah, comes in The word that captured my attention next is favor. Favor is such an interesting word. God favors, or he found favor in the sight of God. What does that mean? And it happens a few times in the Bible. And there's a difference between mercy and favor. And I actually skipped explaining all the mercy part. Please check out our e-newsletter. I have given you all the explanation about it. So, mercy and favor. Favor. You know, favor has something to do with something, like when I say I favor this food over that, what does that mean? This one, somehow personally, I have preference, but also this delights me. You know, when you say you favor something, there is certain association, connection with that thing, food, movie, or human being that there's a joy and delight associated with it. You favor that. That means when you see this, when you eat that, when you meet that person, you are somewhat delightful. You favor certain color over the other color. You favor certain car over the other car. So when it comes to God, God favors certain person. Now, can we say God favors certain person because he's handsome or he's smart? Probably not. So the word blameless, upright, comes into it. And it goes to the quality of heart. And that's where it comes, Swedenborg's explanation about what Noah signifies. Noah stands for the new hope for the humanity. Hope that humans indeed go back to love again and have charity again and be good before God again. So I'm really summarizing this long story short. As I was telling children, Noah's story to me is not about God hating humanity and condemning and want to kill them all. It's more likely opposite of that. Whatever happens to us, whatever we choose, wherever we end up, God still somehow provides a solution, a way out of it, a salvation. If we have one single possibility to get out of it. One human found favor. And because of that, whole human race, plus all the animals, were saved. That's another way to read and understand the story of Noah. And there are many other in the Bible. So, may God give you blessings that you have hope in your heart. And God always loves you, look after you, and wants to deliver you from your troubles. Amen. Amen.